ourselves on Jesus. Last week I told you that there was somebody that had been, we do a meetings every week, and they finally got irritated with me after like 2 or 3 months. They said, "Man, you know, every time we're talking about something, you're always with this Jesus thing, man. Is this all you think about?" And I'm like, "Yep, exactly. Man, I mean, everything, I mean, we're talking about all kinds of things, and it's all about, it's always Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Can you get off that and come down to reality?" I'm like, "Listen, the reality is Jesus is leading. And the reality is that, I mean, I just hopped on it, you know. I said, the reality is that Colossians says that Jesus holds all things together. The reality is that without Jesus, we can do nothing. I mean, you just keep going. I mean, you're going to be saying amen to me pretty soon if this argument goes on. Because without Jesus, where would we be? Without Jesus, where would we be? Even now. So instead of spending our energy and our time talking about what's going on and what might happen next, let us spend our time speaking of who Jesus is and what Jesus can do. Amen. How's that? Is that a good deal?
Yes.
Instead of wasting all our divine, God-given energy, talent, ability, resources, talking about what might happen, what is happening, and what might happen, let's rather channel that to talk about who Jesus is and what he's doing, because that is the solution to 100% of our problems. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me start with this here today and lay down a stone before we say anything. The present and changed reality about the Lord Jesus is this. I do this for myself every time I get up in the morning. I meditate, I set my mind on this, and this lays the foundation to whatever is to come to be built on that. Whatever thoughts, whatever images, whatever information, whatever opinions I'm going to get during the day, this is my foundation. The present and changed reality about the Lord Jesus is this. The manger is empty. The cross is empty. Manger is empty because he grew up. The cross is empty because he died. The tomb is empty because he rose again on the third day. Right? Many opinions about all that, but opinions don't matter. Facts do. The manger is empty because he grew. The cross is empty because he died. The tomb is empty because he rose again on the third day, but the throne is occupied because he rules in sovereignty. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, that's what I do every morning. I remind myself. I go like, okay, take a deep breath. This is the facts here. He grew up. He died for you. He rose again on the third day. And right now, he sits on the throne, Amen. Ruling in sovereignty. And that is not going to change. That is eternal. That is forever. That is unchangeable. That is outside of people's opinions. That is outside of predictions of what might happen, what might not come, what might take place if this and if that. Regardless of all that, he is not planning to leave the throne, and he is not being removed from the throne either. So set your mind on this. Take a deep breath. And say, whatever is ahead, whatever is coming, I know who he is, what he does, and what he's going to do next.
Amen.
We shall not be surprised if many miracles will happen. People say, oh, you know, how can you say that? You know, in the circumstances we have right now. Listen, the more dire the circumstances get, the more need for a miracle. Right? We're going to see many miracles, my dear friends. Write this down. We're going to see many miracles. Many miracles, because he's still ruling in sovereignty. So this is the assurance we have as children of God. The King of glory is ruling from the throne of grace and mercy, overseeing his children and making sure that his promises are kept as yes and amen. That is not going to change regardless of what's to come, of what we believe it might come in the near future. Right now, we are being bombarded, if you will, hearing so many predictions of what is coming, and all these thoughts are based on fear, right? We assess the situation, we do our own, you know, opinion assessment, and we say, well, this is going to happen. If this doesn't happen, that's going to happen, that's going to happen. And we're just constantly being bombarded with ideas, with thoughts of fear, But we, as the children of God, are not to be given to fear. Amen? We are not to be given to fear. We are not to be given our hearts, our minds. We are not to be given anything we do into a platform of fear. Because we already know the scripture, God did not give us the spirit of fear. Right. So on and so forth. That's not our deal. That's not our deal. Not the children of God. Not my house, devil. Not my marriage. Not my children. Not my church. Not here. We are not given into that. We are given, we are already taken. We are given to Jesus. We are already taken. So, as children of God, we know who He is, what He does, and that He rules with sovereignty. So, whatever is to come, our deliverer, Jesus Christ, the prince and the captain of the armies of the Lord, the Lion of Judah, will never be removed from His throne. And that should settle our hearts. That should set us at peace in whatever circumstances we may have going on right now. So, listen, be at peace. You know, the Bible speaks often about, from the beginning, you know, let there be. In the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. Throughout the scriptures, all the way to the New Testament, in the New Testament, time after time, let your hearts, let there be, you know, be this. And it's such a powerful statement. Be at peace in this time right now. Be at peace. Commend yourself in Jesus' name to be at peace. Be at peace. And as you are at peace, pray. I'm doing this every day. Pray for peace in the streets of America. We desperately need it. Can you imagine we've been praying for the world forever? We need peace in the streets of America. We need to pray for our law enforcement in the next few weeks in this supercharged atmosphere that we have going on right now. They desperately need it. Law enforcement officers are, we have them here, people that get up and go to work like you do, like everybody else. But they are under tremendous, tremendous pressure right now to do what they need to do to protect the people and to exercise the law and so on and so forth. Pray for law enforcement officers for the next 2 weeks and all the way up to elections and right after. This is a very charged atmosphere for us here in America. Oh, we're not just saying that because he's for this side and that side. Let's drop that once and for all, people. We are the children of God.
Amen.
We are not politicized. We are not trying to elect or re-elect or diselect or do whatever. That's not our deal. There's rights for the American people. Go vote your rights. Amen? Amen? Go vote. Go vote your rights. But our agenda as children of God is not that. Our agenda as children of God is to be the lights. To be praying, to be making intercession. And I'm telling you, I get up in the morning and I'm grateful for law enforcement officers, because if there's no law in the streets that I have to go shopping in, where I have to go park my car, where I have to go to the doctor, I can't do anything. So I'm very grateful for such people. Pray for people working in hospitals for the next few weeks, you know, first responders, people in positions that deal with public safety and all that. They all have a very, very hard job to do in the next few weeks. So be praying. I am. Pray for pastors of churches in this season. We desperately need it. It's a time of great divide, even amongst the people of God. Even sad to say that, but there's great divide going on, great pull. There's great demanding for pastors to take one position or the other, for pastors to go for this and go with that. And pastors are already struggling, dealing with keeping church, keeping buildings without having meetings for months, Amen. Keeping everything afloat, paying all the bills, and now there's this old tug of war. Pray for pastors. It can be a very lonely place right now because you can't please one and abandon the other. You can't love one and abandon the other. You can't embrace one and leave the other behind. It's a really complicated time right now. So be in prayer. Pray for provision for our church and for every church that upholds Jesus Christ as Lord.
Yeah.
Amen? The church of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about, right? As we need provision, as we need a miracle, so will many churches around us and many people in our community that are doing the work of the Lord. So listen, what I'm trying to tell you is this. Fight where it matters the most, where it's effective, in the spirit. In the spirit. This is why I'm going with this today. Everything that is transpiring in the natural realm has already been decided in the spiritual realm. So here's what happens. I'm going to show you in scripture. There's a spiritual realm and there's a natural realm. We live in a natural realm, and the things we see, touch, the things we live with, the things we handle every day are in the natural. But the things we are dealing with have already been settled and decided in the spiritual realm. They've already been settled here, and then we get to live out what the spiritual realm has settled. It's very important for us believers right now to understand and to begin to see what's really going on based on the spiritual realm. Because fighting in the flesh doesn't fix anything in the spirit. It's fighting in the spirit that shifts what's going to happen in the flesh. Amen? So I want to call your attention to that today. We are not fighting flesh and blood. We already know that by scripture. I'm going to show you that too in a minute. So if we're not fighting flesh and blood, screaming our opinions from the rooftops is ineffective and worthless. I said that to someone this week, and they said, "You're denying my American right. I have the right under the Constitution to say what I think." I said, "Absolutely. Absolutely. We're not denying anyone's rights to speak. Speak all at once. All I'm telling you is, fight where it makes a difference." Amen. That's what I'm saying, okay? I'm not taking any rights away from anybody. Speak all you want. Thank God for America. Listen, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You already know this scripture. It's most probably underlined in most Bibles. If you have your Bible, underline it. If you have your electronic device, highlight it, copy and paste, do whatever you need to do. Ephesians 6:12, just a reminder of what we already know. For we, the people of God, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Clear distinction, okay? We do not wrestle. Does it feel to you that we are in the middle of a wrestling match right now? It feels to me, not just here in America, but all over the world. It's a wrestling match to get to be heard, to say what is right, and people are wrestling each other. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts. Clear distinction, spiritual hosts, right? Of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, let me just say this, you know, many have been wrestling. Many that love the Lord have been wrestling, trying to get their way in. And wrestling will never, never win this war. We know that by scripture. You know, you wrestle to discover what Paul discovered in the New Testament, about beating the air. You're just beating the air. You're wrestling away your energy, your resources. You're wrestling away the gifts God gave you, everything that you have. Wrestling away, beating the air, because it gets you nowhere. It does nothing. Wasting your energy, your God-given resources to no avail. You see, this wrestling match that's going on in the spirit is controlled by the rulers, the spiritual rulers of the spirit realm, not the natural realm. Whatever we fight over in the natural realm will never change what's going on in the spiritual realm. What changes is the other way, is when we fight in the spirit and then it shifts the natural realm. The wrestling match that we run has already been determined in the spirit. Well then, why pray then? Why do anything if it's already been decided? Well, what happens is when we in the spirit fight through the power of prayer, and we fight where it matters against the enemy and against spiritual wickedness, God shifts that atmosphere, and that atmosphere, as it shifts the natural realm and the things that we live through. The things that are happening to you and to me right now, they've already been prayed by somebody. Some of you are here because somebody has been praying for you. Yeah. Some of you are still working and walking because somebody has been praying for you. Yeah. Some of you are still alive because somebody has been praying for you. Some of you are going through some trouble right now because there's other sources in the spirit that are praying on you, not praying for you, praying as in pray on you. The enemy prays on the people of God to destroy, to divide, to separate, especially now in this atmosphere that we have right now. But what I'm trying to get your attention to is this. The rulers of this match that we're on right now, this wrestling match we're on right now, are not carnal. They are not carnal. They cannot be spoken to. You cannot use common sense to overcome this war. You cannot try to speak away. You cannot try to convince, push, buy, manipulate. None of that's going to work. What's going to work is fighting weight matters in the spirit. Fighting in the spiritual realm. Tackling the enemy by the power of the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, and poking the enemy where it hurts and how it's supposed to be done through Scripture. That will push back darkness. Let me just say this to you. In you, right now, dwells all the power you need to push back darkness. The Holy Spirit is in you. In you dwells all the power you need. Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of you. Therefore, if you ignite the Word of God, if you speak as in accordance to the Word of God, if you pray as in accordance to the Word of God, in you dwells all the power you need to push back darkness and make a way for the Lord, make a way for you and for the Lord. It's in you. It's nowhere else. It's not in the party. I'm sorry to disappoint you. One side or the other. Both don't have what you and I need. Oh my gosh, that is so terrible to say that right now. Listen, both sides do not have what you and I need to overcome. Only Jesus can defeat the enemy. Only Jesus can make the way. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can make the miracles. Only Jesus, nothing. And with that, I'm not endorsing one side or the other or saying this and that. No, you're not. None of that, my friends. We gotta be so focused on what's really happening in the spirit rather than in the flesh. This thing is not carnal. This thing is spiritual. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, the words of Jesus. You can't go wrong if you go the Jesus style. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. You want to be seen as a child of God in this charged atmosphere right now? Be a peacemaker, not a wrestler. And that goes against everything our flesh is feeling right now. We want to speak. We want to rally. We want to say it. We want to do this. We want to push because we see things in a certain frame, a certain way, and we believe that we have the truth, and we want everyone to be in the truth and be set free. I get it. The problem is we have people seeing the truth from different lenses. And it's impossible to come to an understanding. It's almost impossible. Our flesh screams out, no, this is it. We got to do this. And the other person goes, no, no, no. This is it. We got to do this. You miss this and you miss that. And then we sit there in a wrestling match with each other that sometimes gets ugly. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. My friends, more than anything right now, the world needs God. And how are they going to see it? Who will preach to them? How will they see it if we keep antagonizing each other? How will we show them the peace that surpasses all understanding if we spend our energy antagonizing each other? How will we reach out to the very people that we're antagonizing whatever views people have? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Many other scriptures we could go to that Jesus mentioned, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth, and so on and so forth. Oh my gosh, this goes so against everything our flesh wants to do right now, which is to make a point, to post, to say it, to go after it. And Jesus is saying, look at me. I got the words of life. Be a peacemaker, not a wrestler. Now with that, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a view or you shouldn't stand for what you believe. And please understand, I'm not discouraging you from doing what you think is right for you. What I'm saying is this: fight in the spirit, don't wrestle in the flesh and waste your God-given resources and energy. Yeah. I don't know how many of you feel in the last 6 months drained, tired, undone, ready to sit down, discouraged, not knowing what to do, praying. And this week I put a picture on the WhatsApp of the church. It's a prayer that starts God, and then you just see the word God, and then it's like a bunch of can't read it, and then at the end, amen. I mean, it felt like that the last 6 months. A bunch of times you start praying, oh Lord, and you're, oh my, amen, Lord, to save me, whatever you do. I don't even know what I prayed. I don't even know how to pray. I don't know if anybody has done that. I've said that to the Lord lately a few times. Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray, God, save me. Save my mind. Save my intellect. Save my cognitive ability to see and to perceive truth for what it is. Lord, help me understand that none of this that I'm looking at, none of this that I'm touching and speaking of and hearing is the reality. The reality is in the spirit. The reality is determined in the spirit. Understanding what is invisible is of the utmost importance, because the invisible controls the outcome of the visible. The Bible speaks of that too. We desperately need God's deliverance right now in America. We need peace. We need God to lead us. So let the people that can see in the spirit and the peacemakers take control of this war and bring back the standard of the Holy Spirit and bring back unity and bring back a level-headed approach and saying, here's what God is saying. Here's what God is offering us. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Level-headed. Calm. Calm and collective. Why are you so calm? You seem to know what's coming. Well, I know what the Bible says. I know what to expect from God. I know what He said He would do. I know His promises. Those things I know, and those things I put my heart to. I make that choice to put my heart to those things. Here's a quote I want you to write down. To receive the impossible, we need to focus in the invisible. To receive the impossible, we need to focus on the invisible. To receive the impossible, we need to focus on the invisible. Speaking with someone this week, they said, yeah, Inasipo, right now it's impossible for that to happen. I said, yeah, because we're looking at the natural, the carnal. We're looking at what we can assess within our own intellect, and we weigh the two parts and we say, it's impossible. But we receive the impossible. You know, God is an expert of doing the impossible, right? He goes on to say, for God, nothing is impossible. We know all together that God is able to, you know, change everything, and God is able to make miracles and move mountains. God is able, He's proven over and over again, that He's able to make the impossible go away and make things possible. We know that very well. We know that in our walk of faith. But for us to receive, to enter into the impossible, we need to focus on the invisible, where things get settled, where the war is won, where things get shifted. It's in the invisible. Studies show that the majority of the world's population, even unbelievers, they believe in some form of deity or another. Everyone believes that there's something out there we can't see. There's something invisible we can't see. Well, we, the children of God, know better than anybody, but we know what it is. It's God. We know what it is. It's the spiritual realm. How do you know? The Bible describes it long before. For thousands of years, the Bible has been describing. There's this thing going on in the spiritual realm that controls the natural. We know what it is. And we, the children of God, right now, need to rise up to the position of saviors. What I mean by that is we have what it takes to save the world, because the Savior dwells in us. We have an answer. We have an option. We have some hope. We have a way forward. So we, as the children of God, need to be engaged in demonstrating to those around us that, listen, we know what it is. It's God. And we know what it does. And we don't demonstrate that with persuasive words and worthless arguments. We demonstrate that with the power of the Holy Spirit operating in us in a way that causes people to see forward, to see what they're not looking at, what they're not considering, the things of the Spirit. What I'm asking you to do right now is that you would put down your carnal, lightweight weapons and pick up your lethal weapons of mass destruction in the Spirit. Did anybody get that?
Yeah.
I wrote that. I think it's so cool. I wrote that and I read it again and I was like, wow, this is so cool. Listen, instead of like, let's save the world. The world's already been saved. There's only one Savior here. Okay? Listen, put down your carnal lightweight weapons and pick up your lethal weapons of mass destruction in the Spirit. Equip yourself with the full armor of God and not information. Even though information is very powerful, right? Information can help us determine many things. Gather the information, but equip yourself with the full armor of God and fight effectively. Fight weight matters. Fight weight matters. Weight makes a difference. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Probably underlined in your Bible. If it's not, it should be. I write it on your electronic device. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In the beginning, I started saying the circumstances will shift. Don't pay attention to your feelings because your flesh wants validation for what you think and feel, but that will shift at some point. But the invisible, the things of the Spirit, the unseen, is what we need to focus on. This is what the Scripture says outside of everything we feel, believe, and feel we should fight for. More than anything, we need to fight for a stand for God's word and for the truth of God's word to be known, because without the direction of God's word, without Jesus at the head, we are going nowhere.
Yeah.
So we fix our eyes not on what is seen or what is said or what is put out, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Did you know every time you pray, the Scripture actually says that the prayer of the just availeth much and so on and so forth. We know what prayer does, right? But did you know that your prayers are eternal? I was thinking about it this week. Every time you pray, it's not just a prayer like you and I relate to. If I ask you what you prayed 6 months ago, you might have to go look in your diary or figure out or think about it, you probably forgot. But when you pray, your prayers are registered in heaven. They are eternal. Ooh. Think about what you prayed 2 months ago. Did you know that every time you pray, the spiritual realm takes it seriously? Every word of it, it is registered. And it moves and it shifts the spiritual atmosphere. Did you know when you pray, it is a big deal for God? He hears it and He acts upon it if you pray in accordance to His word. Did you know that if you ask Him anything, anything that your heart's desire, so as long as your heart is set on Him, that He would move mountains and shift nations? Right now, oh my gosh, the nations are raging, right? Maybe somebody prayed something that God took seriously. Think about it. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I'm like, God, there's a lot of things happening that are, well, somebody prayed this. God was reminding me of that. Somebody prayed this. Somebody prayed this. And the spiritual realm begins to shift.
Yeah.
And when it shifts, Oh, it just messes up our comfort zone. It messes up with everything we got going every day. Yeah. It messes up with our calendar. It messes up with the way we do church. It messes up with the way we view things politically. It messes up with everything we got going, and we have it all lined up. Yeah. And now somebody prays. When the Israelites were moving with a cloud of fire, they would pick up their tent, and the men of God would say, time to move, pick up the tabernacle, and they pick up, and they go to the next deal, and they would set up again, and remember, with the Israelites? And if you read the story, it is so funny. The Israelites would get angry. You know why? Not now. This time I got to pitch my tent right in front of the tabernacle. I got my goats for sacrifice. I got my kids playing. I'm in the best spot. I am not moving. The glory cloud's moving. Ah! Are you sure this is God? Because he don't feel right to me. Time to move. The glory cloud's moving. Oh, I pick up again. My kids, my goats, and my staff. Now, I will sit right in front of the tabernacle. Now, will I get it next time? What will it be like next time? Ah! Messing with our comfort zone. Some things have been prayed that are happening now that you pray for. And God is about to show you. Revelation is coming to many of us right now. Because we are in a spiritual reality we did not know before. It's unprecedented. So we're being revealed. Some things we did not know. But we get so riled up with losing our comfort, and we get so bothered by what we can see. The things that we see, we fix our eyes on those, we hold on to those, we're so caught up in all that it takes a moment for us to wind down, turn to the scripture, and see the unseen. And see the invisible. I'm going to show you something so cool here. You're going to see the invisible when you leave here today. Don't fix your eyes on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. When the Israelites were told, pick up, the glory cloud is moving, they were so upset because what they could see was being messed with. But they were not seeing Canaan in the promised lands. They had not seen it yet. They had been told about it, but they could not see it from where they were. And when you cannot see in the invisible, you get upset with what's happening in the visible. Some people are very caught up and so angry and so mad and so militant because all they see is right here. And God is saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute, this is not your goal. This is not your life. You are going somewhere. It's a place that God has promised. And until you get there, you have to believe the invisible. You have to believe what you've been told. And when you get there, you will see. And some could get there. And some didn't because they refused to believe the invisible. Go with me. We're going somewhere here. The invisible forces of the spiritual realm affect and rule over the visible, tangible things we see and touch and hear every day. And the scripture says, don't look at those. Yes, we have to deal with them, of course. Yes, we have to make decisions. But do that from the place of the spirit, from the invisible. See, consider, prioritize the invisible, and then deal with the tangible from the place of the spirit. Not the other way around. Don't be here in the tangible, wrestling and fighting and pushing and screaming, hoping that the future will be better. You won't until we move to the spirit and begin to wrestle in the spirit against the principalities and against the rulers of the wickedness. When you fight what matters and destroy the enemy, then our future will be different. Go with me. Keep going with me here. We are living in unprecedented times. Things are happening to us right now that nobody saw coming. Because of that, we enter into a spiritual reality that we have never seen with our physical eyes. Yeah. Oh, what are we going to do? I'm talking to pastors on a weekly basis. And they're saying to me, and I'm saying to them just as much, what do we preach about? What do we say? What do we, how do we, you know, if you don't want to, well, huh? Did you know pastors are just people like the rest of us? Yeah, their cars break down, their tires blow up on the freeway, their kids need help, they need to go to the pharmacy, they run out of toilet paper, go to Costco, and there's none left. Yeah! And then they're going to come here on Sunday, yeah, we're going to make it, everything's fine. Toilet paper companies take care of what we get every day. Listen, there are things happening right now that we are encountering, that we've entered into. It's a new spiritual reality we've never known. It's unfamiliar. That's why we're like, whoo, because somebody prayed and got shifted. I believe it's the prayers of the saints that have been going on for years. People have been praying. We certainly have here. People have been praying. Some of you have been praying, and God finally shifted something, and now it is a new spiritual reality. It is uncomfortable because we are unfamiliar with the room. We just entered into another room, and we're like, wait. Where's the seats? Where's the window here? How do I get out of here if I have to? It's unfamiliar spiritual reality. And we all are trying to figure out. And let me tell you what's happening with the church across the board. What's happening here with us is happening all over. I've been talking to leaders all the time. Same things. I say, oh, this is what's happening with our church. And they're like, oh, this is what's happening here. In every country. Same thing. Here's what's happening. We've entered into a new spiritual reality. It's a new room. It's unfamiliar. And only some have entered. And they're like, wait. They want it. We want it. Yes. We'll move with God, but... Woo! There's nothing here. In the other room, I knew where things were. Here, I don't really know, and it's like, and only a few have entered. There's many on this side of the door going, I don't know about that. I'm like, huh, let's see what happens. Let me sit here until after elections. Let me sit here until after the economy returns. Let me sit here until the pandemic is over and the stock market changes. Let me sit here until my 401k levels out again. Let me sit here until... And there's very few people actually being brave enough to enter into the new spiritual reality that we've entered into just recently. Oh, God is so doing what He promised. He's moving us forward. Yeah. The glory cloud has moved. Yeah. And your comfort zone, my comfort zone, is being messed with. Not fun. Where's my goat? Seriously, Moses? Not again. Wait a minute. I'm missing some stuff here. I got to get my stuff together. This is not what I envisioned for me. This is not what I wanted to be doing. I don't need a new spiritual reality. I need where I can count my goats, look at the tabernacle, do my sacrifices, be with my family, be happy, die happy, and go to heaven. But God is so much more for them. God is so much more for them. Amen. Let me just tell you this. Moving forward with God, it is uncomfortable. And at times, scary. Some of you have prayed, God, move me forward. And He goes, okay. The hand of God comes from behind you and starts to gently move you in a certain direction. And you go, whoa, 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 whoa. You prayed. You asked for this. No, God, could you go ahead and take care of everything? Make sure, give me the report, come back, show me the contract. Tell me, where will I sit, how much will it cost, how long will it be, and then I can then take a step. But that wouldn't be a step of obedience or faith. It would be a carnal step, based on your assessment of things. Oh, my friends, let me tell you this. Right now, there's so much fear about what's coming to America. There's so much. Just put on the TV. Don't put on the TV. It's worse than the TV. But you know what I'm saying. Oh, my gosh. Did God leave His throne? Is God running back and forth in heaven trying to figure out what to do 2 weeks from now?
No.
Has the plan of God for the earth changed in any way? Have the promises of God, I mean, seriously, think about this for a second. When you start thinking about this, you've got to stop engaging in all that stuff, because you know, God will never fail His promises. God will never abandon His people. God will never leave His throne. His throne is eternal, regardless of who's in power. I don't know who's going to be in power. I know as much as most of you do. Nobody knows anything anymore. But whoever it is, we're going to be praying for that person, whoever that person is. And we're going to be the church of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the invisible, consider the spirit, fight in the spirit more than we do on what is visible and what is touchable. Oh, when the fight comes, let me give you a piece of my mind. I told somebody recently, get off Facebook, shut it down, get off. But they need to know, don't do this. You're going to hurt yourself even more. But I'm right, but yes. But the more you stab, the more blood's going to spill over you. Get off it. Be at peace. We've entered the new spiritual reality that is unseen for many, for most. We have never dealt with this spiritual reality before. Comprehending the invisible reality around us is one of the most challenging things to do, because our flesh screams for validation. We want validation for what we feel and what we believe. But here's our assurance, my friends. Dear family of God, give yourself to these things. Psalm 21, verse 4. David says this: my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's a statement. Whatever is coming, it doesn't really matter, because what I need comes from the Lord. Not from whatever. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He, the Lord, will not let your foot slip. He, the Lord, who watches over you, will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel or His people will neither slumber nor sleep. There is nothing going on that is passing by God that He can't see. God's video camera is on 24/7. When you're laying down, you're rising up. When you're going and coming, God's video camera is on 24/7. Heaven's security system is on 24/7. He doesn't sleep. He's not missing anything. He's not pulling back and saying, oh, well, sorry, church. Sorry, dear child of God. We'll have to wait until after elections. No, my friends. He doesn't sleep. The one who watches over you will not allow your foot to sleep. This is it. This is our shirt. This is our security. First, that you've got your mind. talking about.